Yo, what's the deal, baby? This your boy, Uncle Luke, formerly of the 2 Live Crew. You are listening to Pass It Down with Mike Silver and Natalie Silver. Natalie is the most beautiful young lady in this deal right here. Mike doesn't look so good, even though they're dad and daughter. It's the big show, baby.
All right, well, we are back with Brandi and Chad Chastain. We've already got one great episode in the books. We established that Chad's Scottish footy announcer character is unparalleled, especially when taunting Julie Foudy after a Cal big game victory over her alma mater. We've established that Brandi's son, Jaden, is about to start playing the other kind of football, the American kind. That is quite a plot twist. And we also determined that despite my daughter Natalie's incredible juggling skills, she was not the most accomplished driver when she had her learner's permit.
I think I also literally just established that Mike Silver gives the longest intros of all time. So let's shut up and talk soccer.
All right, let's do that.
I want to talk about something that makes my head explode sometimes, and I think figuratively, and I think Natalie's too. And I'm really curious what both of you guys think, because it pertains to both kinds of football, but specifically the beautiful game. And that is, what do you guys think of VAR? Because I really, really struggle with it.
I have said many times it's the bane of my existence in the soccer space, because I'm talking to you and I'm watching soccer. I'm watching Arsenal versus Wolverhampton.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Yeah. And I feel the reason why I don't like it, not because I don't want the call to be right, is because it interrupts the flow and the what makes soccer so great, which is these spontaneous moments that all of a sudden become interrupted, right? They stop it. You can't celebrate a goal anymore. You know, everybody's waiting. And then it's just like, okay, fine. Now it's time to celebrate. It's too late. It's done. You know, I think that a part of what makes sports so great is that there's human error, mm-hmm. that humans have to make the plays. The referees have to make the calls. And yes, would I rather have the call right? Yes, but there's the big but there's going to be mistakes inherent in these things, and we can't be perfect because the players will never be perfect. So why are we trying to make refereeing perfect? In the end, it will be a wash, in my opinion. If we just go back to having referees referee the game, actually, it will be a wash. And sometimes they'll go for you, and sometimes the calls will go against you, but it'll all work out in the long run. You know, nobody knows what handball is anymore. And I have seen probably, you know, since the teams have gone back to playing, there's probably been half a dozen games where there's been called a handball where no way should it ever be called a handball, where the guy, there's nowhere to put your arm. Like, where can you put your arms anymore that is considered natural? And the ball hits you. You don't make a play on it. But it goes to somebody who scores a goal, and now it's no goal for handball. It's like, oh God. I'm not a great fan of it, to be honest with you, if you can't tell already.
Chad?
Well, you know, I take a different approach. And for me, I don't think that, you know, Brandi mentioned that it kind of slows the game down. What they've actually done recently is they've allowed the play to continue. And then when there's a stoppage, they go back and say, okay, was he offsides or was he not? So there's celebration, but I'll take it to this. And I think it goes back to the pitcher a couple of years ago, I don't know, 5 or 6, 10 years or whatever it was, that remember he had a perfect game going and it would have been the final out and the guy threw it to first and the ump at first base called him safe.
Yep.
And had they gone to instant replay at the time, the guy would have pitched a perfect game. And then as it turned out, he didn't get it. The guy was safe and It didn't happen for the guy.
And in the long run, what is that? So what? So what?
Like, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, and I agree that they should get it right. What I just think it's, and I think the part that not everyone is getting here is that, and those that don't know soccer, is that they don't do VR. They don't do VAR for a common foul in the middle of the field or a handball, or it's just goal related stuff. So it affects a game that could potentially end up 0-0 or 1-0. So I think it's more impactful, and it needs to be done right. That's why I think it's I think it's good for the game.
Well, here's why I hate it.
Mike, can I interrupt you for just a moment?
Yes,
before
you may.
We hear the most amazing thing from you. I have a guest appearance. He just walked in. My young man child, Jaden.
Oh my gosh!
Hello,
Jaden.
Jaden, this is Mr. Mike Silver. His daughter Natalie. They do a podcast. Mike is a longstanding, one of the best longstanding sports writers in our country. Aww. And we met a long time ago. And you know Uncle Chatto, of course. we're doing the podcast right now, but we were just talking about you, and I was saying how you're about to go on your first journey and play football. So,
yeah,
are you excited about that?
Oh yeah, 100%. I can't wait.
What makes you so excited about it?
Oh, just because I know a lot of my friends are doing it, so I'll get to see them again. And yes. Football just such a fun sport, because I remember how fun flag football would be, and so I think football is just going to be equally, as if not more fun.
Oh, okay.
Jaden, before you go, I know that Brandy and I texted about this a while. It's been a while, but you know, have you watched tape of her soccer exploits much? Like, do you have a sense of how great she was as a player, other than the obvious, you know, she's on the cover of magazines and stuff? Or are you just kind of like, whatever?
I've seen a few tapes of some of my mom's work. One of my favorites being the own goal. that's one of my personal favorites. I just think it's really funny, but it's also a really good tool that you can use to say, like, even though she scored on herself in the game, they still, you know, played hard and they fought, and they used that as strength to kind of come back and work things out.
And I scored again for our team this time, thankfully, in that same game.
You equalized that game, and then we won, right? That was against Germany.
I wonder, Mike, if that goes to my goal total or not. We'll have to
It's the old hockey cliche, right? The plus minus. Brandy was an even on the day.
but the U.S. won. That was a 99 group game, I think, against Germany.
No, so quarterfinal.
That was quarterfinal.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why it was such a big deal.
Well, I mean, if you were a Colombian man, you might not be with us on this podcast.
Oh my
but
God.
Luckily, you are. You're still with that. So, that is amazing that Jaden is clearly shares his uncle's and mom's sense of humor. You can tell. That's
yeah. I was going to say that Jaden loves a good blooper.
That's amazing. So I'm going to just do my VAR rant very quickly, and
yeah,
that's
go for it.
You know, in football, the reason instant replay was created was to correct the egregious measurable wrong. In other words, we all saw the guy fumble before he crossed the goal line on the touchdown that decided the game. And look, if you replay it, the ball's out of his hand at the half yard line. It's measurable. We got it. Let's correct that one thing. But it's morphed into this, we want to make everything perfect, which yeah. I don't fundamentally agree with. And what I really hate about VAR the most is that, you know, I like goal line technology, I'm fine with. Did it cross or did it not cross? I guess I could be talked into, did it hit the hand or not? Although, as you said, that's really vague. But really, you're going to tell me that you're going to go back and play God and find that a defender's foot hit the calf a little bit as it was going for the ball, and then now you're going to subsequently call a PK, which is so such a penalty. You know, it's not like a free throw. It's a massive, massive game swinging thing. So I just live in fear of it. It makes me cringe. And it seems, maybe it's my paranoia, but it seems to disproportionately affect underdogs, African teams, you know, Croatia in the final against France.
Still just salty.
Every time I'm like, I'm into an underdog story and thinking, okay, you know, it's almost like any chance they'd have to pull something off in real time, well, the VAR will screw it over. And I know that's anecdotal, but I don't think we should be, especially in soccer, where it's such a gray area, it's so hard to defend, it's so hard to know what a foul that is worthy of a penalty kick is or not, and we're going to go back and say, oh, I think maybe she pushed her there. I hate it.
Like, it's not croquet, you know? There's a flow, and everything's so subjective.
And you know what's lost in this? What's lost in this is that the referee could still wave off viewing the VR. So it's not necessarily, hey, the guy that's the fourth official in the booth is going, hey, that's a handball. The referee could say, well, I deem this as an incredible play.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I honestly feel that if there is something that's really close and it comes to the referee, they feel obliged to use it and to listen. I mean, honestly, if the referee could slow down the game to see it like frame by frame, obviously they do a much better job, right? They'd get it right most of the time. But again, that's, to me, the point of sports is not to be perfect. It's the falling down moments. It's the get it wrong moments. It's the squeak in between two players, and you know, just jump out of the way of a tackle and the advantage. I love advantage in soccer, and sometimes, especially at the lower levels, at the upper levels, it's usually applied in the right moments. But I love the advantage rule when, there was a foul, but we let the play continue because the game is going on.
I could see Brandy coaching Bellarmine and them not applying advantage and her head exploding.
So many times, Mike, I have to tell you, so many times I'll be like, ref, that's advantage. He goes, but you got the kick. I'm like, yes, but the whole team now is behind the ball. Like, that's not an advantage. We should get the advantage. I've gotten better, though.
And I want to note that Brandy is, like, consistent on this because I happened to be looking back yesterday at I was researching one of my favorite games of all time, which is the 2000 Olympic final in Sydney, where the U.S. Is down to Norway with in stoppage time. And it's literally the last play of the game. So I think there are three goals in my era as a U.S. sports soccer fan that are miracles. There's the Landon Donovan goal in the World Cup. Yep. There's the Abby Wambach goal against Brazil. But this one is the lost one, which is they're done and they bomb a ball on the last possession to the corner. And Mia, who's probably not known for, you know, her crosses, gets the ball and puts a cross up over. And Tiffany Milbritt, who is like, what, 3'8" or something? I mean, like, you know, the shortest kid on the field gets up and heads it into the corner to force overtime. And it's, I mean, one of the greatest, I don't know what you thought of it, Brandy. I mean, I just saw it on TV. That had to be.
It was a miracle. It was incredible. You know, like you said, you know, and Norway of all teams were, you know, they absolutely prided themselves on being good in the air. They would launch big, long balls and, you know, head them down. And Millie just came out of nowhere and just exploded over this girl and just got the tiniest of touches that deflected past the goalkeeper. I mean, that game was an up and down roller coaster of emotions for sure, because in the first 15 minutes we probably should have been up 3-0. You know, Mia would probably say she missed three easy chances for her, right? For her, and we would have won consecutive gold medals. But that's why we play the games.
And then in overtime, their goal was a disputed handball that they didn't call. But I did see a quote from you after that said something to the effect of, hey, the referees have to make a call. Soccer's not perfect. Congratulations to Norway, which is not only classy, but very consistent with what you're saying 20 years later.
I'm bringing the F-bomb.
There you go. I'm glad to be.
Chad, what did you think of that call?
I would have been thrown out of the media room at the end of the game. That game, by the way, that the result of that game and its dynamic, finish by the U.S. was eerily similar to some of the games I played in at the youth level, just very, very special. Very special.
Yeah. You and the Blossom Valley, what were your teams? The Bombers?
We were like the Bombers team? And the Rovers. But it reminds me a lot of my exploits as a budding basketball player when I beat my buddy one-on-one at like 1 o'clock in the morning in the basketball gym. So I was, I've had my moments. I've had my moments,
Mike.
Yeah,
you have. Now, well, actually, you know what, Mike? Mike, I'm going to tell you. I used Chad as an example for young girls. What I would say is, I always say this all the time. I talk about, why sports is good for girls. And, we talk about all the statistics about, higher education, low pregnancy, dropout rate, all those things go up when sports is not present in the lives of girls. And so I said, there's another component, and part of it is this confidence that we gain from playing sports, right? We find out about our bodies, we become in charge of how we feel and what we do, and we build our self-esteem up. And so I tell this story about how we would go down to the local school, Chad and his buddies, because normally that's who I played with, because, there wasn't too many girls in our neighborhood and rarely did they want to participate in sports. And so I just recall one day in particular, we were on the basketball court and they were, shooting baskets, and every basket that went in, they celebrated like they had won the NBA championship. And it was rare that they went in. Well, maybe so. But, from my perspective as a girl, let's say 25 years later or 30 years later, I tell young girls that you have to feel good about the good things that you do, because that's where it starts, right? Because you become, then when you do that, you become an influence and an inspiration to other people around you. And if you can't do that, that's a real problem. And that's why sports is important, because it gives us this sense of pride. It gives us this moments to cheer. It gives us these moments to feel good. And my brother, had no reason to feel like he won the championship, but he was encouraged through society, right, to be able to say, look at me, to pound his chest and to feel good about sports, because he belonged in that arena where girls didn't, but now they do. And so we have to take advantage of feeling good about ourselves, and being in that arena means that we belong. And so I tell people all the time about my brother and how great he was at celebrating the baskets that he would make, or the touchdown, or the goal he would, score, because that's how we should all feel in sports. That's basically why I play. It's why I coach. And it's the building block for anything that you can do going forward.
And I feel like you might know something about iconic celebrations, just inherently.
I feel it was just I'm a product of, watching my brother and watching other males play sports, and not contrived things, but really honest to goodness, great feelings about, when you do something good, it feels amazing to just in that moment to yell or to pump your fist or to jump in the air. And, I want to have those moments every day. And I'm going to, because
there's a statue now, right? Or
yeah, there is.
There's a statue outside the Rose Bowl.
But there's also there's also a bust, right, from when you were inducted into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. Chad, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Chad, have you seen the new bus, not the old one, the terrible one?
No, I saw the. I haven't seen the new one, but I saw the old one. my sister Jerry Mather.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, but I need to hear each of your reactions when you saw that monstrosity. And this is when you got in the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame.
Okay, first and foremost, let me just put this out there first before we make any comment about it. You know, the point of the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame is to influence and help change the trajectory of the lives of young kids and underserved populations, right? So, you know, the bus is something that has become kind of fodder for joking. And of course, you know, it was not great. And everybody knew it at the time. But now I'm in this position where I'm seeing it for the first time. And it's at the banquet. And you stand up on this platform and you stand next to your bus, and I'm not interested in looking at myself. I get to see myself all the time, right? So I don't even look at it. And someone says, well, Brandy, what do you think of it? And I turn, I'll never forget. I turn, I look at it, and I look back towards the people, and I quickly take a double take. Like, did I just see what I saw? Like, oh my God, what is that? Like, so it was not great, but what was I supposed to do in that moment? Be like, throw a fit? Or like, so I gave a little thumbs up. Like,
Chad, how did you see it?
Well, it's funny because I you know, I wasn't there, but, and I think it might've been the next, I didn't actually talk to Brandy, I don't think, until the next day, but the media, it had gotten out pretty quickly. And friends of mine were like, dude, did you see the face of your sister? I was like, what? What are you talking about? I get to look at it. And by then the internet had gone, you know, from Gary Busey to you know, Mickey Rooney to everybody. Yeah. Right. And then I was very quick to come back and say, to my close friends, hey, I don't see your ass in any Hall of Fame. So they were quickly like, yeah, that's pretty awesome, by the way. So,
Chad, you're like, only I can call my sister ugly. Like, nobody, you guys can't call my sister ugly.
I don't know if you guys know this, but my dad is a member of the Jewish Sports Hall of Fame of Northern California.
it's a very specific Hall of Fame. It is the Jewish Sports Hall of Fame.
First of all, Jewish sports, that's already a small niche, right?
But of Northern California. So yeah, it is. But you know what the key words of that are? The three most important words? Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. No one's going to take that away from you.
They can't take it away. And there was no bus, thank God, because I mean, if someone who's attractive could look like Brandy's bus, I don't even want to think about my bus with like the ear hair and the neck hair. Oh, it's been a rough quarantine.
Oh
that's
my
great.
God.
You know, you're also famous in our household, not only for being an incredible role model to Natalie Brandy, for being the sister of, you know, my favorite party buddy, but you also appeared on one of our favorite shows.
Ooh.
I think you won part of it, right?
Yes. I'm assuming you're talking about the Food Network.
Yes. Chopped.
Yes. 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 That was, again, I'm going to defer. I'm going to take second place. Chad is an amazing cook. Amazing.
Wow.
He eats more than avocados.
Yeah. Oh no. He is incredible.
Moscow mules.
He's so good. Yeah. He's good. He's good at party food but beyond. He's terrific. But that was, you know, that show, I did it three times. I won once and I came in second on another. But I found that was the closest thing that I got to a soccer match, because there was a time component and then there was physical elements, right, that you had to do. So it was so fun, and The baskets are real. Like, you don't know what's in the baskets. Wow. And you find out as, you know, they make you stand there because when you do TV, you have to do things multiple times so they can get the camera shots just right. So when you see it in its completion, you know, when you see the show, you don't realize how long it takes to produce the show, but you have to stand at your baskets. And Ted Allen, the host, says, chefs, open your basket. And then you have to pretend that you're going to open it. And you want to look in there so bad, but you can't. It's like Julie Foudy could never go on this show because she was the person who, if the sports psychologist, Colleen Hacker, put a candy or a marshmallow on our table and she said, don't touch the marshmallow until the meeting is over. Julie had already had the marshmallow in her mouth. So she could never do this because she would have opened the basket already. It would have been over.
Were the judges nice to you?
Oh, the judges were awesome. They were awesome. I think when they have amateurs on the show, they're much nicer.
More lenient.
You know, they're lenient, but I just think that they're understandable that, you know, maybe there's like things that you don't know that you obviously should know if you're a professional chef, you know?
I mean, I feel like, you know, Jeffrey Zakarian can be a little rough. Mark Murphy, those guys can be a little condescending. So that's good that you survived.
TV.
No, I have to tell you, I took Jaden to one taping. We would watch, you know, Chopped and the Food Network a lot around here. He loved it. And he got to know all the likes and dislikes of all of the judges. Ooh. And when I brought Jaden and I was out on the set and I asked the chefs, hey, do you mind meeting my son? Because he's a big fan. And, you know, as you heard already, Jaden, you know, has good sense of humor and he's not afraid to have a chat with someone. He got out there and he literally, it was like, was it Jan Brady or Marsha that went totally blank on the game show on the Brady Bunch, where he just stood there with his mouth open in awe of these chefs. And it was awesome. It was something I didn't expect, but he just loved all of them and they were so very nice. So, no, I have a very soft spot for those guys. They were really, really, easy to work with.
Did Jaden go ahead.
Sorry, Mike, go ahead. I got into speaking of the cooking aspect, our mother was a great cook. But I got into it because I am as a soccer coach and I'm at home in the evenings with Erin, my wife, being on the road with her team occasionally. I do the majority of the cooking in our household, but my kids both just walked in and they would love to say hi to their Auntie Bran and to say hi to the Silver crew.
Hi.
Well, Hi girls. I saw your 4th of July pictures with your bicycles and yeah. I need a picture of you, Luna, together for 4th of July.
I'll get right on that. No problem.
And don't leave it up to your dad because he's terrible at sending pictures.
Hi girls.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's sillier, mommy or daddy?
Daddy.
Okay.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Well, sometimes mom does stuff that's silly, and then dad does stuff that's funny. So I don't know. Both of them are.
Hey, I have a question for you girls. When your dad does the French chef in the morning, do you like that?
Yes.
Mike,
ladies, we are going to have a little bit of cooking time, yeah? So what I am needing you to do is get all the ingredients out for me, and then please back away from the kitchen for to do my specialty, huh?
We need Chad on Chopped.
If there is a big game this year and Cal wins, he's calling Julie Foudy in the French chef voice. 100% chance. We're gonna take it to the next level. Chad, if you were like in a boat and you had like one life preserver other than your own, and the boat was starting to sink, and the people on the boat were the following, just as someone who's, you know, has like really invested in his sister's career and cares a lot about soccer and all that. Okay, so these are the people on the boat. You can give one life preserver away, and the people on the boat are former U.S. national team coach Greg Ryan. I'm going to put Hope Solo on the boat.
Oh my god!
And I don't know, maybe like Kim Jong Un.
Wow! Holy cow!
Who's getting the life? Who's getting the life preserver?
Okay. Well, I I know your friend. I know your friend Rodman spent some time over there in North Korea. So I don't know where that's going to go. So I'm not guessing Kim's going to get one. I'm not a huge Mike Ryan fan. I only know
Greg Ryan.
No, Brandy, that was on purpose. I guarantee that was on purpose. I will not sit here and listen to you impugn Bill Ryan, one of the great U.S. soccer coaches.
I don't know Greg all that well, and I don't know, you know, that was a time I of the national team where I kind of spaced. But
he loves me. He's a big fan of mine.
and I don't. God, Silver, you threw me a loop there. Maybe Hope Solo, I guess.
Well, I mean, I know she like hate tweeted Brandy during the 2012 Olympics. she didn't like
it. I know. So I don't know where I'm. maybe I take the I go double life reservers for myself and let the three of them go down.
No, you wouldn't.
That's what the answer I was hoping for. I was hoping for I'm taking both, and I mean, not that you would want anyone to drown. You believe in Hope's athletic ability and Greg's tactical ability to get themselves out of it. I think that's the that's the answer. So I'm curious. You know, the NWSL, which is the third attempt at a women's league, and you guys have. I've never understood how. We live in this culture of soccer dadness where we all watch our daughters ball out and it's the most important thing in our lives for, you know, years. And then I just still don't understand how there's not a massively popular U.S. women's league. And I know there are challenges, but I'm rooting for it as I root for all of them. And right now they're in a bubble in Utah and they're trying to play this Challenge Cup. But some of the members of the Orlando Pride apparently like went to a bar and then there were some COVID ramifications and they had to drop out.
So hypothetically, if you were playing Brandy and this was happening, you were playing in a pandemic, who do you think on your team, which teammate would have trouble in this context, social distancing?
You mean like who might go to the bars?
That's exactly what I mean.
Well, you know, I mean, I always want to.
The silver's always stirring the pot.
I always want to throw Foudy under the bus as much as I possibly can. So, to be honest with you, I when I heard that, I was quite shocked, to be honest with you, because. And maybe this just comes from the perspective of, you know, when we didn't have things, right? We didn't have a league and we didn't have an opportunity to be professionals here in the U.S. And then to have that opportunity and to be really frivolous with it, I think would not have ever fly. You know, that would have just been like, no way that would have ever happened. And I don't even want to play fun with it, to be honest with you, Mike, because it's such a rare opportunity, as you said. You know, it's shocking that we haven't really established a league with more teams, and especially we don't even have one in California. And it's so precious that, you know, to be frivolous in that moment just is, I can't imagine it. But I was talking to Allie Wagner about it, so maybe the answer is Allie Wagner.
she's really good. I mean, like, I think Julie Ertz, who you coached, is maybe my favorite player in the world. But Allie Wagner was as big a star to me, another Santa Clara great who I thought got a raw deal international team time. But as an announcer, she really, I thought she shined in the World Cup.
Yeah. No, Allie does a great job. She's, you know, very, I think, determined to be thoughtful and, you know, look at all the details and not just say the thing that you expect to be said. And she has an opinion. She's got a lot of opinions. But she said this to me the other day. I was working out in her garage and she said, I said, come on, Allie, like, can you believe this, that they, that these people from the Orlando team went out and ruined this opportunity? She goes, are you kidding? I remember me at 21. I think I was running around naked somewhere after the, you know, like in Greece, after we won the world, the Olympics. And I was like, I mean, really, Allie? She goes, yeah, we were stupid. Like, you know? So I was like, okay, maybe it would be Allie Wagner because, you know, she's kind of her own person. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that maybe don't think the bigger picture because they haven't had to. So maybe this is a great learning experience for those folks and an example to others. So
Brandy's like,
hey, you guys.
But he's like, I only took off my shirt, man. I didn't get naked.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, and Nat, I'm sorry, but Jerry has golf set up for us, no, and I have to go.
We've worn you out. We want to thank you guys both for being phenomenal guests, and we're going to have to imagine this, Natalie. We're probably going to have to break this into two parts like we do all of them.
All of them.
But you guys are amazing, and, you know, I just, all the things we said, I said about Chad were exaggerated. I really don't like him that much, but all the things about Brandy, like that's, I'm underplaying what a sincere, cool person she is in general and how she, you know, the impact she's had on you, Natalie, and our family. So we love you guys. We really appreciate it.
Well, Mike, I'm as appreciative of you in terms of your professionalism and your honesty when you write. And I think the fairness in which you do that and the support of women's soccer has always been there. So anytime you need me, I'm here. Anytime.
I love it. Chad, could you sign us off in your Scottish footy voice?
Well, that was it with Mike and Nat. We're very happy to have Chad and Brandy back on again. Do yourselves a favor, have a pint, and enjoy your 4th of July, everybody.
Oh, that's so American. Love it.
Go USA. Love you guys.
Bye.
All right. Cheers. Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Stay well.
Bye.
Take care of each other.
Bye. Bye. Bye.